Well, let's ask the Lord to help us. I had a lot of trouble with this lesson. Just kept looking at it in different ways, and finally I just remembered that we only have one more lesson in Romans, and then we'll be messing around with heaven. And I hope it will be enjoyable to you and not real serious. As far as I know, none of us have been to heaven and back. So, but it'll be exciting days. Just think, all of us that claim Jesus as our Savior, we're going to see Him and be with Him, and there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more illness. Just think of the things that are ahead for us. The best is yet to come, that's for sure. So with that, we'll struggle through Romans 15. And if you want to follow along in your Bible, that's fine. We'll try to make good sense out of it, nothing else. Father, we thank You for Your precious word again that is a light unto our feet, that shows us the way. Lord, help us never to take Your word lightly, but to chew on it and study it and claim it as our own and live by it. Lord, You have so much You want to teach us, and we put so many other things first, and we miss the very best that You have to offer. Help us, Lord, not to do that, to really fall in love with Your word and who You are and what's ahead for us. We're excited about it, Lord. You're such a wonderful, wonderful, amazing God that You're just going to have so much fun showing us so many things. And we look to that day. Bless us now, Lord, and for anyone that's come with a heavy load, may they be able to give that to You and to leave here a little lighter, leave here a little encouraged, and we'll simply give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're down to Romans 15, and next week it's the last chapter of Romans, and I'm kind of glad to see that come, to tell you the truth. So, well, the Church of Rome was a responsive church, a compassionate church, and it reached out to people in need, responding to those who had hurts and burdens. Now, wouldn't you like to belong to that church? It just seemed like they took care of their wounded. That's really what the church today should be doing, is taking care of its wounded. A lot of wounded people. A lot of hurting people. And so, I think Paul said that they were complete in their knowledge. They understood the nature of the flesh and the need for sanctification. They knew the old Adam was a continual struggle. And the third thing Paul had to say about this church was they were competent to instruct one another. I thought that was kind of amazing, because they had no leader, and the people in Rome were those that had found the Lord elsewhere and had gone to Rome on business or whatever, and were able to instruct each other. You would think this church was sound because they were able to counsel one another of the deep problems of life and be filled with the goodness and the compassion, would hardly need another thing. Mm-mm. But Paul wrote they needed three other things. First, they had a bold reminder of this whole subject of discernment. Someone willing to give up their rights so that someone else might be helped. You know, we have a tendency today to say, well, I have a right to my time, or I have a right to drive the car, or I have a right to go shopping, or whatever. And maybe there's somebody that needs that right, that time, for you to help them. He does, he reminds them it's not to be as a burden, but to be as a blessing. Just as loving parents make sacrifices for their children, so the mature believer sacrifices to help younger Christians grow in the faith. Oh, I've seen that recently with several older people, just really taking the time aside to help someone else grow. Are you doing that with anyone? Are you encouraging anyone? And I tell you, your own children are the ones that really need it. Sometimes parents can get into such a thing of, well, you did this wrong, and only getting C's and D's, and how can you ever expect, and it goes on and on and on. But your kids need encouragement. Watch them thrive under encouragement. Well, what did Paul say were the two resources of spiritual power that we must draw from if we're to live to please others? And that's the Word of God and prayer. You would take that for granted, wouldn't you? But those two things are so critical. Paul closed this section praying for his readers that they might experience from God spiritual unity that Jesus alone can give. This suggests that the local church must major in the Word of God and prayer. So how's your church doing? Seems like there's an awful lot of churches today that have canceled out their prayer meeting in the middle of the week, or their Sunday night service, and things have gotten rather skimpy. And there isn't any prayer meeting. Serious thing to think about. Well, that really is what the local church should be caught up with, the Word of God and prayer. Well, the first real danger to the unity of the church back there in the first century was the apostles became too busy to minister God's word and prayer. They were busy doing other things. They were working very hard. They would counsel people. They were even doing manual labor. They were trying to evangelize. But all of that activity of the Christian life is to no avail if it's not sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It must have the touch of God on it. Otherwise, it's dead and useless. I remember saying to the Lord every year, Lord, if you're not in WOW, we should close it down and not have it. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. And we don't want fluff and stuff. I know you complain it's too hard, and you can't figure out how I think, but that's good. Get the cobwebs out. You know, get your thinking. It's Paul rejoiced over the city of Rome. He wanted to go there, and because his church existed there, he rejoiced. He had real excitement for it. And this kind of happened everywhere he went. You never hear Paul talking about how much he had done for God. This is something very important principle to pick up. If it had been me, I got beat by rods and I got thrown out of the city and I was put in prison and I did all those things for the Lord. I can hear myself now. Don't you feel sorry for me? No, Paul never ever complained. And I know from when we studied Acts last year that when he was thrown out one time, he was dead. And his friends raised him up, and Paul kept living. But he always talked about not what he had done, but what the Lord had done through him. That's a very important concept to get a hold of. There's no end to what God can do if you allow him to do it. and you don't try to take it, take that glory, I guess it is. Really, you're stealing God's glory. But that was his effective ministry. You know, it took Paul 10 years to learn that. So it doesn't come easy. People want to be seen and heard, and it's really not the best place to be. Paul tells us of a manifestation by the power of signs and miracles. And why did God allow that for Paul? Well, it authenticated his ministry. So you would know that he was from God if he healed somebody and brought life here or there, and they said, wow, look what Paul's doing. And he would say, no, this is Jesus working these miracles and these signs. And it's because he allows me to. Paul never took that privilege or that authenticity and said, you know, I'm a big cheese or whatever. He was very humble before the Lord. How wide did Paul's ministry spread? Well, his ambition was to preach wherever the gospel wasn't known. He wanted to go where no one knew about it, the Lord. And finally, the apostles found others to share their burdens, and so they were working very hard. And then they were then able to do what apostles needed to do, was to share the word and pray. So the church experienced great harmony after that and growth. And of course, the result of all this is the glory then goes to God. In Jesus' prayer in John 17, and it's been so long since we've studied John 17, or John, the Gospel of John, but remember when Jesus prayed, he prayed for the unity of the church. I really thought about that a lot last night, because I thought, are we really unified? And I thought, well, that's the neat thing about WOW, is that you and I are from all different churches, and yet we build each other up. And especially when we're sitting in a discussion group, and this is the answer you've got, and somebody else has got a different answer, and you don't sit there fighting. You sit there and think, wow, she saw it in a different way. Isn't that great? And we build each other up. I remember the very first discussion group I had. I didn't know anything about Scripture. As I told you, I pronounced it Psalms and Job, and I couldn't pronounce anything. And God was very good to me. He gave me a group of little old ladies. And I went in there and I said, I don't know anything. I warned them ahead of time. It's okay, dearie, just sit down. We'll teach you. It was neat. It was neat. I learned more that year than I had ever. And it was within 5 years, they were all gone. They're all with the Lord. So, but that's why I like this class so much, is because we're from different backgrounds and different churches, and we can share what we get at home and encourage one another. It's interesting, Paul used three different Greek words to cover this thing of servant or service, and we have just one English word, and the English word is deacon, and it comes from these words that Paul used for servant or service. Well, the ministry of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, the supreme example there is we always take it back to Jesus Christ. And because we have to remember that when John the Baptist came and baptized people in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, he did it strictly for the Jews. And when Jesus started his whole ministry, he did it as unto the Jews. He brought healing to those that were Jews. And when Christ died and he confirmed his promises that God had made to Abraham and the father of the Jewish nation, some of the promises have been fulfilled, and still some of them are waiting. We've got a future coming, and it'll be pretty exciting. Maybe we should do Revelation again, although I think I lost about half of you on Revelation, so I don't know. Well, you might ask the question, was it selfish of God to choose the Jews? No, it was his choice, and he was simply going to use them to bring forth the gospel, and he himself was going to be born a Jew. So it wasn't selfishness on his part, but they didn't receive him, did they? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What a sad time. But then Paul goes on with these progression of promises in today's lesson. And I thought it was pretty neat because Paul could have just used one of them to say that the Gentiles were going to be included. But he didn't. He used a couple of verses out of Psalms. He used a verse out of Isaiah and Deuteronomy. And the beautiful thing is that is basically your structure of your Old Testament with the law, the songs, and the prophets. Isn't that amazing? So God had this plan all along for you and I. Now, if I had been brought up a Jew and had to memorize the first five books of the Old Testament and go to synagogue and do this and this and this and this, and then those Gentiles, those unclean Gentiles, would just come in and be accepted by God. It was just very hard for a lot of Jews to accept that. Well, it's interesting, the word trust is at the end of Romans 15:12, and it's actually the word hope. I always look for that word since it's my middle name. But at one time, the Gentiles were without hope. But now in Christ, they have hope, joy, peace, and power. Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles. But remember when we studied Acts last year, Paul would go into a town and he'd always go to the synagogue first. And then he'd go to the Gentiles. He ached for his people. He wanted them to know the Lord. But Paul had been called by God to take salvation to the Gentiles. Remember when he was Saul of Tarsus? He was out to murder all those lovely new Christians. He wanted them arrested, and then he wanted them beaten. He wanted them killed. And until he ran into Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul didn't know anything about grace, and he sought to destroy the new Christians. Isn't it amazing that you and I have not experienced that yet? And I hope we never do, but you don't know. Anyway, Paul was taken aside, and he learned all about Jesus. And then his ministry was to the Gentiles. Well, God also gave him grace not only to be saved, but he called him an apostle. I was thinking about this last night, too, and I was thinking, you know, the Lord probably has a very special place for Paul. We'd have the 12 apostles, and then we have Paul. And I just think he has some special place in heaven. It'll be interesting. I don't know if I'll ever ask him a question. He probably would scare me a little bit. But what an amazing man he was. So he experienced the grace of God. And you and I have too, if we've accepted the Lord as our Savior and know that our sins are forgiven. Well, his ministry was centered in the gospel, and Paul looked on himself as a priest at the altar, offering up to God the Gentiles that he had helped win to Christ. And he looked at them as a spiritual sacrifice to the glory of God. How special. See, Paul never took credit for himself. He put it out there, and then he'd say, to you, Lord, to your glory. Note the involvement of the Trinity. You can do that anytime you're passing through Romans, the whole book, really. I should have pointed that out sooner. When you see Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father all being talked about, you've got the Trinity right there, even though the word itself does not appear in the New Testament or the Old one, as a matter of fact. But you can see it everywhere. Well, we must serve the Lord with dedication and devotion, just as the priest would do in the temple. And Paul had done it all for the glory of God. Therefore, I will glory in Christ Jesus as my service to God. He wasn't boasting about his ministry, but what the Lord had done. It was done by God's power. That's so fun when you're involved in a ministry and you see the Holy Spirit take hold of it, and you say, wow, isn't God special? And it just does something to your spirit. Miracles authenticated Paul's power. It came from God, and his miracles authenticated his message. And by word and deed, we can share the love of God with the lost all around us. You know, changes in conduct and character, to me, ever much so, are miracles, as much as someone being healed from something. Now, I'm grateful that my cough is gone. That was very nasty for 3 weeks, but far greater is when somebody gets turned around and their character and their conduct changes. It's beautiful. So if you're praying for someone to come out of drugs, or you're praying for someone to come to the faith, keep it up. Miracles do happen. Well, it was, God had a special plan for Paul to follow, and he was not to preach where any other apostle had ministered. This is very interesting, because Peter had not founded the church in Rome, or had even been to Rome. And I find that interesting, because when I went to Rome and was outside of Rome, there's a church there called the Church of Peter and Paul in Chains. Now, they try to put across that the two of them were in prison together. I don't know if there's any evidence for that. The interesting thing about this church is that you go inside and Michelangelo's Moses is sitting up near the altar, and it's magnificent. It just takes your breath away. He did such a beautiful job of Moses, and he has two horns. Now, if I had a lesson on this, I'd ask you what those horns represent. However, you don't have a lesson on it, so I won't ask. But anyway, behind this great, enormous statue of Michelangelo's is a shop. You want to buy a Michelangelo statue? You just go behind it, and you can pay all you want for any size you want. And I don't know, that didn't rub me the right way. But they probably make quite a bit of money there. Anyway, Paul did not want to impose on anybody else's ministry, because he felt they should spread out with the gospel. And I don't know if Peter ever was in Rome. He's supposed to be buried there under an awful lot of cement and marble. My husband and I kind of wondered how he was ever going to get out at the rapture, but we're terrible. You can throw tomatoes next week. Anyway, there's no record that Paul wanted to go to Spain, but there's no record of it. And he said, I'm going to come by Rome on my way to Spain. But we don't see how he possibly got there, because when he gets arrested, he claims to want to see Caesar, and that's where we left him last year, was on his way to Rome to witness before Caesar. So, and then there's others that say, well, tradition has it that Paul may have gone to Britain. And I thought, yeah, that's tradition. Don't base your facts on tradition. Who knows who brought that one up? So, and there's no proof again. Well, the Gentiles' ministry to the Jews at this time, it becomes switched. The Gentiles are reaching out to the Jews. It helped unite the Jews and Gentiles in the church, and it was a bond that brought them closer. There's that unity Jesus had prayed for in John 17. Now, God still has a plan for them, and we studied that in those three chapters in Romans. But I was just jotting down some things last night that I thought about Paul. He traveled thousands and thousands of miles. We couldn't even come up with even a figure. And he wasn't in an air-conditioned bus either, or an airplane, or a ship that was of probably anything but car sickness or seasickness or whatever. He had a tough time. Paul's ambition was to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Oh, that was really great. He didn't want to infringe on anybody else's territory. Paul thought and planned somewhat for the future, but he allowed it to the Holy Spirit to guide. You know, if God wills this, then that's where I will go. Paul was persistent. He didn't give up. And I like that in a person. Don't give up. You know, you're praying for an individual in your family. Don't give up. You have a health issue that's not the greatest. Don't give up. You know, keep pushing. And another thing Paul did was he made plans. They always involved a team. Paul never went by himself. He never tried to make a name for himself. He always went with a team. And remember, there's no evidence that he ever got to Spain. Paul had trust in the power of God. Do you realize how long his book of Acts and Romans and a lot of the New Testament, how long it's lasted? Over 2,000 years. Now, what was it about Paul that made it so special? He finally did make it all the way to Caesar, and he saw the emperor and was a witness. And, well, Paul was well aware of the power of prayer. Those are some of the things I jotted down about Paul. Paul may have changed your life. Maybe you came to faith through the book of Romans, or some verse there maybe got you switched around so that you're moving in the right direction. Just think. One day you're going to meet him. I want to meet the Lord first, but there's going to be some very exciting moments when we get to heaven, meeting all kinds of people we've studied. So, anyway, I hope that was some new thoughts for you. And when we get into the last chapter, there's some interesting points in this last chapter. Enjoy it. And then we'll fool around with heaven and I'm going to have a good time with that. Anyway, Father, we thank you again for your precious word, and we thank you for the life of Paul. He was so obedient to you, Lord, and he so wanted to do it your way, and he understood the limitations, but he saw his life as something that you could use and work through. I pray that each of us might see that, that you can work through us, Lord, and reach those that are lost, reach those that are hurting, reach those that need a word of encouragement. And it hasn't got anything to do with us. It's you working, Lord. Thank you that you give us purpose and meaning for life. that you've forgiven our sins, that your grace is so sufficient. Thank you for the life of Paul, Lord. Thank you that we wouldn't even have an America today if it hadn't been for Paul. If he had never lived, we wouldn't be here. It's amazing to start thinking about things when, if this person were not there. Thank you for his life, Lord. Thank you for each lady here. May you encourage their hearts this week, and we'll simply give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.